Are you the Tragically Hip's ultimate super fan? Or do you know someone who just might be? Well, I'm on the hunt for the biggest hip fan out there. The one who's been there for every tour, knows every lyric, and maybe even has a lyric tattooed somewhere they're not legally allowed to show on Instagram. This is your chance to give them the recognition they deserve. Or hey, maybe it's time to finally recognize yourself. Nominate someone, or yourself, by commenting on our official contest posts on social media. We're looking for passion, stories, and fans who go above and beyond because The Hip was never just a band. It was, and still is, a way of fucking life. The fans with the most nominees will move on to the next round. Yes, there is a second round. But first, we need your help by surfacing the super fans. So scroll, tag, and celebrate the people who've made hip fandom their personality trait in the best possible way. Dude, there's a sash, there are prizes, there are bragging rights forever. But most of all, there's a chance to be part of something bigger than yourself. So please, nominate someone today.
A member of the DATC media family.
Previously on the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown.
The riddle moves me, or it moves right through me. The title track from The Hip's third long play, Andrew from Florida. What did you think the first time you heard Fully, Completely?
I think the first time, I probably heard it on the radio. I probably heard it here and there. But hearing it live, it was one of the, they had four or five songs that were always in that would like just melt you. And it was a party song. So it just rocked hard. I don't know what else to say besides it just rocked hard.
Hey, it's JD here, and welcome to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. It is my pleasure to be with you here week over week, counting down 40 essential songs by The Hip that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and a single strand of Tom Selleck's mustache hair, which I obtained during an intense eBay bidding war against someone named Higgins Fan 1985. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in every week to find out, so there's that. This week, I'm joined by TTH superfan John Paul from Toronto. How the hell are you doing on this hip-tastic day, John Paul from Toronto?
Oh, I'm doing great, JD. I'm just excited to be here and talk about The Hip.
It's always a good day when you get to, you know, sit with somebody and rap about your favorite band, right?
It's fantastic. I mean, they are my favorite band of all time. I feel the most connected to The Hip than any band ever, really, for me. So I kind of I'm tickled that I'm here talking about them.
Well, let's get right into it. I want to know about this connection that you have with the band. How long ago did it start? Where did it start?
It started in a duplex in Midtown Toronto. I was thinking about the first song I connected with, or my first like sort of memories of The Hip, and I would say it's a little bit foggy, but I would say it's either New Orleans Is Sinking, hearing that on like Q107 or hearing that on the radio somewhere, or the Courage video during Fully Completely. So just seeing Gord with the Boston Bruins sweater, that whole thing. I think I had one of my brother's friends had Fully Completely had the CD, so I. That was Bored to me. So that was the first album I sort of, as the kids would say, fucked with. and then I think from there, I got Day for Night for my birthday.
Ah.
And that's just sort of started things, started me down the road. But I mean, like, I liked a bunch of their songs, but I wasn't really a super fan until a few records later, I'd say.
What record in particular do you remember?
I think the sort of the rocket ship took off during Phantom Power.
A lot of people really are very fond of that record.
And I think it's also just sort of like a lot of things, like timing wise, I think it just, I think a lot of people could have probably experienced. Like the record just came out at a perfect time for me in terms of I was finishing high school. It was the summer of finishing high school. That new hip record was out. Actually, no, I take that back because that's 96. Sorry. I think I'm thinking of music at work. Anyway, Phantom Power was just something. The fandom went to another level, I guess.
What was your gateway drug into that record?
I think it was probably just the singles to start. It was Poets, then it was Something On, and then Bob Cajun, of course, is amazing. But
right,
you know, as time goes on, I am less inclined to put Bob Cajun on because I've heard it a million times. I don't need to hear Living on a Prayer again. I don't need to hear, you know, Sweet Caroline again. So Bob Cajun is a little bit, but then as I got more into the record, it's Save the Planet, it's Thompson Girl, it's Membership, it's The Rules, it's Vapor Trail, like just the whole record. There's not really a bad song for me on that record.
Oh, that's pretty awesome to have a record like that.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you? What was your gateway sort of album or that sort of took the fandom to another level?
For me, I was into Up to Here. But I didn't get Up to Here when it came out. I got into Up to Here as it was being toured on and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So for me, Road Apples was the first one I bought in real time.
Cool.
And that was a fucking mind blow. Like, it was just like, wow, this is so good. That was the first CD I ever bought. I didn't even have a CD player.
Oh, nice.
I bought Road Apples on CD because I knew I was getting a CD player and I wanted it to be my first.
You always remember the first CD you got, you know?
What was your first hip CD?
Day for Night. Yeah, my mom bought it for my birthday. And then, again, it was just sort of a slow burn. Like, I didn't, I liked some of the singles, like Nautical Disaster was great and blah, blah. But then it just was a slow burn I don't know if you've had the experience like where the lyrics just all of a sudden hit you in a different way, or a friend of mine would explain like, do you know what this song is about? And I'm like, oh, I didn't really see it that way. And then I think kind of what took it over the top was the live record, the live Between Us. So because I'm hearing Springtime in Vienna, because I'm hearing The Luxury, because I'm hearing, you know, sort of the classics like Blow It High Doe and stuff, I'm going back in their catalog. I'm re-exploring Up to Here. I'm re-exploring Road Apples. It's like a whole sort of treasure trove I could go back to. And then it was like, I don't know. It was never-ending treasures, really.
That's totally true. Yeah, because you would have had like the EP and Up to Here and Road Apples to look back on. And there's some great songs on those records.
You know what?
Fantastic songs.
I find it interesting, though, for some reason, maybe because I'm stubborn, like just, I've been told I'm stubborn, is that I've never really gone back to the EP. There's sort of a sound to the band that I don't really want to know them in that way, or just sort of like up to Here is just sort of perfect as a starting point. So I think one day I'll go back to the EP, but I've never had sort of the tug to really explore that record.
You know what you need to hear is you need to hear some of those EP songs live.
Yes.
There's a great resource called the Hip Archive.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's over 500 shows on the Hip Archive, including several from before 1987.
Okay, man.
And like to hear them play All Canadian Surf Club live.
It's, man, a different thing.
He just smelted that song. Yeah.
Or
so good.
In the Hip documentary, they were doing that bit with She's a Werewolf or something about a werewolf. So hearing that in the documentary and him doing sort of that interplay with Paul, and then he'd attack Paul at the end. I'm like, okay, I'd want to hear that. That sounds fun. But I think you're right. Cause it's a live context. It has a little bit of a different feeling to it.
Yeah. Live is, well, this is a great segue.
Sure.
Live Between Us was an experience that amplified your fandom.
100%.
When did you or did you get to have that moment come to life, and did you see them live?
Yes. So I actually, hold on, let me get my list here.
Okay.
So the Hip concerts I've been to, I've been to 6 Hip concerts and 1 solo Gord show.
Oh, wow.
And
I want to hear about that too.
And then I guess technically I saw Paul Langlois and I think Bobby Baker were at the Big Rec show at the O'Keefe Center when they did this whole thing with like Eric Johnson, and there were Tyco drummers and people, you know, hanging from the ceilings from, you know, like the people that can sort of hang from a certain material from like circus sort of stuff, right?
Sure.
So the Big Rec did a concert, O'Keefe Center. It's not the O'Keefe Center anymore, but anyway.
No, it's had 100 names. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I think it was the Hummingbird at, or it was at the, what's the circular one on King Street?
Roy Thompson.
It was at Roy Thompson. Anyway, point of the story is that Bobby Baker and Paul Langlois, I think, came out for a couple songs during that. And that sort of, so my hip concerts were the opening at the ACC, which is my first hip concert, the opening at the ACC, Darien Lake. I saw them at Guelph Lake one time.
What's Guelph Lake?
Guelph Lake, in Guelph, there's like an artificial lake that they've created, and like it's surrounded by a campground, I suppose.
Ah.
So the plan was I went with a couple of buddies, we camped one evening, and then the next day you'd wake up and go to the hip show.
That sounds like fun.
So that was, yeah, great memories of shenanigans. During that trip, but Guelph Lake, I was there for one of the nights that they recorded That Night in Toronto, the DVD that they have.
Yeah.
I saw them at the Bud Stage, or formerly the Molson Amphitheater on Canada Day. And then I saw them, last time I saw them was at the Phoenix when they were promoting World Container.
At the Phoenix?
Yeah, they played a show there.
What a great venue that would be to see them in.
I wouldn't necessarily know because I got kicked out for smoking marijuana. Probably.
Oh, you fool.
Not
that you were smoking marijuana, but that you were.
No. No, I have a, I don't know if I should I share this story now or should we?
Sure.
But some sort of order to this. So I went with one of my good friends, Drew, who was one of the reasons that I got into the hip. He was a super fan before me. And we went down, it was the World Container tour, or it was like kicking off the tour. I can't remember. It was the beginning of that run, I think. And they were playing the Phoenix. He's shorter than I am. So I'm kind of standing behind him and he's passing the joint, over his shoulder. And all of a sudden this giant security guard is like, you're out. And I'm like, what? It's like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, it's a hip concert. Like we're in Canada. Like what the fuck is going on? And
that's wild.
A few of the guys that he collared sort of weaseled their way out of it. And he was just hell bent on throwing me out. So I'm getting kicked out the third song of the show. I think it was Twist My Arm. And he's pushing me and it's kind of aggressive, but he's like a scary big guy. And so he's pushing me towards the door, pushing me towards the behind the stage and out to the alley. And he finally pushes me out and I get pushed sort of down this small flight of stairs. And there's a, just outside of the door, there's like a group of, sort of like family band. There's a group of people smoking right by the side door as I'm getting pushed out. And at that point I'm not pleading with them. Cause before I got kicked out, I'm like, they're my favorite band. I please like, don't do this to me. I won't smoke. Like I was really kissing this guy's ass, like just pleading, begging. And he didn't care. So he just kept sort of physically removing me from the spot and I got kicked out and I'm down the alleyway, like the side of the Phoenix where there's this sort of laneway. And I took a few steps and I stopped pleading with him and I turned around and I started to tell him off. And I said, fuck you, you're of like a secretary in a high school. You have a little bit of power and you're, you know, like I just sort of was just furious at this guy. So I was calling him a bully, really, and swearing a lot. And I think, I didn't know at the time, but I'm pretty sure it was Jake Gold. He was one of the guys in the circle, and he turns around to me and he goes, dude, he's like, I was just about to get you back into the show. And you went on that tirade and you said all that shit, and I can't let you back in the show. And I'm like, oh, no, no. And he's like,
double buffoon moment, dude.
And he, and then he's like, you can find my email. I'll try and get you tickets for another show. Like he, I saw his point. But it was so frustrating. So, you know, like, I don't know if you've been to the Phoenix, but it's, it can be kind of sketchy down there. So, sure. I think it was a prostitute that sort of came up to me or accosted me. And I'm just like, I don't want a date, but do you want to smoke a joint? And she's like, sure, I want to smoke a joint. And I think I smoked a joint with her in the park, and then I went home. And that's...
well, that's an interesting hip concert.
Yeah, it was disappointing, to say the least.
Yeah, I you don't hear many people saying a hip show is disappointing, but you don't hear many people being kicked out either.
It crushed me. And,
yeah, I bet.
So... You know, live and learn. But I mean, the guy was just still being, he was just being such a dick. Like I was, you know, I was really, I was not an, I'm not an aggressive guy. Just, he just had it in his head that I was going. So, you know, I was gone.
What can you do? What can you do? You can't change the past.
That's a pretty good story though.
So at the, off the top, you said that, I mean, you mentioned that you have a, like a very deep connection with this band.
Sure.
Can you expand on that a little bit more specifically? I know you've just went, you know, you've just given us a history lesson of your journey.
Getting kicked out of a concert. Yeah.
No. The whole conversation.
Sure.
Up until now.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious about that. Like what aspect of the music is it that drives you, or is it, is it the complete song, you know?
I was thinking about this, JD. JD, why do you have a smaller case J and then a capital D? Like, why is it?
I don't know.
Just to do it.
Brand thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I was curious. Yeah. Okay. So I think that there's an element of it that, I wrote it down just so I'm not, and it's sort of, there's some cheesiness in here. So be warned, everyone. So I think that, I was raised by, I'm the product of a single parent. So I was raised by my mom and I've never met my dad. So I think that there's an element of the band kind of feels like friends that I haven't met yet, or like sort of chosen family I've never met. There's some sort of that going on. They feel like, from all accounts, they feel like good people. They feel reliable. Like there's an element of it, like they're safe people to be your heroes, you know, in terms of their values and their, who they are as just actual people. You know, like I love Guns N' Roses. But when I was younger, you know, you having Axl Rose as my hero, like there's a lot of shitty things. Like there's sort of Axl Rose has his own trauma that I didn't necessarily want to be fully attached to.
Right. But, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Just, with some of the lyric stuff and some of his just antics in terms of how he treats people, historically. And maybe that's improved now as he's gotten older, but the Hip seemed like a safe place to be in terms of sort of musical heroes. And then there's sort of the X factor of Gord. I think I kind of wanted to be how Gord was in the world. Like I wanted to see kind of what Gord could see through his eyes. Like I just looked up to him as sort of the whole band for that matter, but sort of the magic around Gord, like just how he operated in the world, I gravitated towards, I looked up to.
I can definitely relate to that. Like I have the same thing. It's strange to have a hero that is, I hate using this word, but ordinary.
Yeah.
You know? Because he's nothing, he's not ordinary in the slightest, but as a person, he's ordinary, if that makes sense. You know, he's not a celebrity.
There's a relatability to him.
That's right.
He could be the guy down the street. He could be you. I don't know. It's this.
Yeah. Man, that would be awesome.
And then like, and I think here I have this, so in 2000, like for example, this, again, this is a little embarrassing, but in 2005, I went to Korea to teach English, and I was having a hell of a time when I first got there. I was really homesick, lots of FOMO. I was just really kind of upset about things. And I discovered this book by Deepak Chopra, and it was about the universe. So it's about meditation, all these other things. So one of the things in the book, this exercise that he was espousing was to come up with your own sort of archetypes that after you meditate, you sort of focus on these sort of archetypes at how you want to be in the world, right? So there's lots of different sort of major archetypes you could sort of pick from. And so I made this sheet of, you know, I have this sheet here of these archetypes that I want.
Is that from when you're in Korea?
Yeah. So I just found this downstairs. So this is from when I was in Korea, and you know, I have the John Bonham symbol there. And here's a little, where is it? There's a little picture of Gord. Where is it? Right there. That little picture of Gord there that I made, in terms of even back then, after meditating, just seeing Gord's face and trying to, I don't know, be something like him. I don't know, you know? He spoke to me back then, like as a source of spirit or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was more than a front man. Certainly more than a front
man. Like I was saying to my girlfriend, and this is maybe hyperbole, but like I think I probably have a stronger connection and a love affair with the hip than I do with God. Like they're sort of, and I don't say that like I don't say that easily. Like I just,
right.
There's something else to the band, to the music that is, feels sort of divine. I can't, you know, I don't know how to put words to it, but there's something kind of magical going on with that band.
You know? I think that explains a lot what you said.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Man. I have this irreverence for the band they're just so important to me.
Well, that is very clear, John Paul.
Thanks, dude.
What do you say we flip the script here and go and listen to the song of the week? How do you feel about that?
Sure.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
All right, let's do it.
We'll do that.
This is a great song.
We'll do that right after this.
All right.
Hey, it's JD here. And before we get back to the countdown, let's talk about our partners who keep the lights on and the pod list full, North Star Bets. These folks are as Canadian as the Tragically Hip on a summer night. They know that We Kings is not about farming tips. And when it comes to gaming, they bring the goods. Over 2,000 casino games, top slots, live tables, all the bells and whistles you want when you're feeling lucky. They even have $1 million progressive jackpots, you know, for when you want to make your own kind of legendary Canadian story. And their world-class sportsbook, it's dialed in. Hockey, basketball, baseball, curling, whatever gets your heart racing. Plus, top-tier customer service, because it's nice to know you're not screaming into the void if you need a hand. If you're going to play, do it with a company that totally get ya. North Star Bets, that's a win. Must be 19 plus and in Ontario. North Star Bets is licensed by iGaming Ontario. Please gamble responsibly.
Hey, this is Paul Langlois from the Tragically Hip saying hello. Now on with the countdown.
12, this Presley. Love the number 12.
The
Today, we're looking down from high up above. John Paul from Toronto, what do you remember about hearing Gift Shop for the first time?
I remember the video, the black and white video.
Great video.
Yeah, powerful. I'm, you know, Much Music, Countdown days. It was Johnny Faye with the black hat. It's the, you know, simple drum kit. It's the, I don't know. Everyone looks good. Gord has the Mountie outfit on.
Yeah.
Do you remember, when do you remember hearing it for the first time, JD?
Oh gosh. I didn't prepare for this. I didn't know you were going to ask me this.
Well, I'm turning the tables later on, so don't worry.
Goodness. Well, definitely when I bought the CD.
Yeah. Do you have a preference?
I don't recall seeing it.
You don't? Yeah. Do you have a preference with the, between the live version and the album version?
I definitely think it's meant to be played live.
Yeah.
Like it feels built to be played live. It feels built to be an opener, but they just happen to already have a great opener in Grease too.
Yeah.
You know, from just the record prior. Otherwise, I think this would have been a song that opened, you know, all the time, because it's got that meandering beginning part, and then it builds to that, you know, the cymbal crash and the guitars coming in, you know, really strong, and it just takes you on its journey at that point. So there's that.
Yeah, I would, building on what you're saying, just that the song itself is just constantly building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just slowly chugging away, but then it's at a certain point, it really takes off, but it is kind of has an airy floating quality. And I would say just the whole time it's building, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think this one's about? any line on that at all? This is a tough question to ask.
Okay, yeah. So I went on the internet and internet says that apparently it's about anti-cultural appropriation or consumerism. There's apparently a tie between this song and the song Daredevil on, the second song on Day for Night.
Yeah.
And in that song, he's referencing, he says something about the rim. He's talking about getting to a barrel. And there's inferences or direct language around Niagara Falls. So
absolutely.
Apparently,
yeah.
Gord had some sort of communication with his fan or a relative, or I can't remember who it was. And based on that conversation about Daredevil, he wrote the song Gift Shop. I have no idea if that's true. I don't get really all
great
that
story.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great story. It's a great fodder. I mean, there's language in both of the lyrics that are similar, and some of them that's the same. I mean, when I think of Gift Shop, I think it's more just imagery of looking, you know, over into a canyon, Niagara Falls. And although the lyrics are memorable to me, because I think they fit really nicely and they're just fun to sing. The song is more sort of getting me on a musical level. You know, I feel like I'm, for whatever reason, like generally always, there's always some sort of surprise, how hard it's rocking at the end when Bobby's doing those, sort of hammer on that solo at the end when he's just going for it with those hammer. I think they're called hammer ons. And I always kind of catch myself going, holy shit, it surprises me kind of every time how hard it rocks at the end, you know, what point you get to, by the end of the song.
Yeah, it's right up there, and it's got the jammy end to it.
Totally.
You know?
The drums, the drums are very straightforward, which I really like. Like, Johnny Faye is just holding it down. Like, there's not a lot of condiments on that sandwich. She's just kind of going right going right up the middle, which I really like.
Yeah, me too.
Anything else you want to say about Gift Shop?
About the song? Yeah, so you're saying you prefer the live version, eh, from Live Between Us?
I like the studio version.
Sure.
But I feel as though the song was made to be played live. Like, it screams live to me. So I loved hearing it live all the time. I don't know that I can say definitively that, you know, the Live Between Us version is that's the one I love.
Yeah.
I just love it live. Like, good in general.
And that's maybe you answered my question. Do you call that album Live Between Us or Live Between Us?
I call it Live Between Us.
Live Between Us.
Yeah.
And I think I've always said live.
Yeah.
Just for no reason. Just, I think that's just how I've always said it.
I think we're both all
both right. Yeah. Nice.
That's right.
No, but Gift Shop. No, I think that's about it. I mean, just great video, kind of quintessential hip. And the song totally rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, do you have anything that you would like to plug at all, John Paul from Toronto?
No, not really. I don't have anything. I'm not doing anything worth plugging at the moment.
Hey, you got an episode of this podcast to plug it.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not a big social media guy, though. I really have no social media presence. Cool. I have a couple questions for you, JD, if that's possible.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. One of my questions is, I guess we'll start with this one. What hip album do you think the Tragically Hip sounds the most like the Hip?
Oh, I don't think there is one, because I think they changed so much. Like, you can look at Up to Here and Road Apples have a similar sound. And if I had to choose one of those two, I would choose Road Apples.
Okay.
And then Fully is just the polished version of that sound.
Yeah.
I love Fully. And then Day for Night, they tone it way down, and it's just a very clean and sparse record. But its themes are darkness. Like, they were literally different every single time. So,
but if you had to, and there's clearly no wrong answer. I just think it's sort of fun thought experiment.
I think you get a lot of what they are with Day for Night.
Like
there's darkness, there's the classic Tragically Hip slow song that is about something more ominous than that. It's got Nautical Disaster on it, you know, that really showcases Gord's lyric prowess at this point in his career. There's a lot of jamming on the record, a lot of songs with extended outros rather than fade outs.
Yeah.
And, I think that's what we get, you know, moving forward with this band. That's my answer.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's a great one. I think, I have a friend who, we talk about the Hip quite a bit, and he has a sort of a thought. Shout out to my friend, Brian. Brian McCormick. He has a thought that Day for Night sort of sounds that you're the whole walk, like, clearly there's themes of water in the record, but kind of feels, the feeling of the record is that you're underwater.
Oh, wild.
There's sort of dark underwater feeling. And I don't know. I think it's an interesting take. I kind of feel that heaviness, that darkness on the record.
Yeah. That murkiness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Cause for me, I don't know why. I really think Trouble at the Hen. Well, for me, it's Trouble at the Hen House. I think that there's something about Trouble at the Hen House. I don't know if it's because they're self-producing for the first time, and they're there's something about that record. I feel like it's kind of the sum of all the Hip records, kind of they sound the most kind of at their pinnacle a little bit for that, with that record. But it's hard to pick one. It's hard to pick.
Yeah. It's tough to say that's their pinnacle, and then the next record is Phantom Power, though, right?
Like, no, like, but like the
oh, sort
of,
shit.
I know.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. But
this is the thing about this fucking band.
Yeah.
Is it's like you think that you've got it nailed and you think you've got it figured out. Okay, this is the apex. And then it's like, yeah, but what about now for plan A or but whatever?
Whatever the next thing is. Well, it's definitely not now. It's definitely not now for plan A.
Oh, I love that record.
Oh, no.
It's on my turntable right now.
Oh, no. I like it. It's just, I don't know if it's Gord started fitting too many words in. He got too wordy or something, or it's just the way the record sounds.
Give it another listen.
I will.
Do me a favor.
I will definitely.
All right.
Another question for you, JD, if that's okay.
Sure.
You're a super fan. What's your favorite live hip performance on YouTube?
For the longest time it was Woodstock.
Yeah.
Woodstock 99. Just that complete show. There's so much energy and power, and they're playing in front of, you know, literally tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
And it's just a day at work for them. It's just a day at work. And they just go out there and just kick its ass and then, you know, go back and drink beer and smoke weed.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of respect for that performance. My favorite live performance ever is my first live show. I've got it as an MP3, but it was just phenomenal. It's context, it's time, it's place. I've told the story a million times, so I'll give you a short
version. Okay. Yeah.
It was my 19th birthday.
Oh, wow.
That was the first time I saw them. So it was the first time I could drink legally in Ontario. You know, for anybody else listening around the world, who was unaware of that significant milestone in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So that was huge. So, I mean, I took full advantage of that and drank beer, and I didn't smoke a whole lot of pot back then, but I smoked pot that day.
Where was the show? What show was it?
It was Markham Fairgrounds. It was
another
roadside attraction, 93. And it was just a dynamite show. It was the Hip and Midnight Oil were the two headliners. Over my shoulder, I've got a framed bill post from the show.
What's it called? That's I think on YouTube, that's the one where he's got the red shirt and the white pants. I think one of
maybe.
I have a weird memory like that. I think it might be. Also, did you ever get that weird VHS tape? This was a sort of a turning point in my fandom too. That weird sort of on the road hip tape called Helton Skelton or
Hex and Kettle.
Hex and Kettle.
So
that really amplified things too, because seeing them on the road and on the bus and going from town to town for another roadside attraction definitely sort of made the band more interesting to me.
Yeah, there was a program on the CBC early on as well called Full Fledged Vanity.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube right now, and it's pretty much a must watch as well. There's so much great stuff from that, and it's only about an hour long. It's about them having a homecoming back in Kingston.
Yeah,
and again, it's before Fully Completely came out, I think,
or right around.
So,
then. Or like,
yeah, maybe right around then.
I
think it's before.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I'm going to go back. Cause like, that's good stuff there.
Yeah.
Did you watch the, last question? Did you watch the CBC?
Sure.
Did you watch the CBC, sort of presentation of, the interview they did with the rest of the guys there, at Massey Hall?
I actually went to the Massey Hall show.
Oh.
So I didn't watch the rebroadcast.
You were there.
I went. Yeah. It was so good. I just thought it was so nice. After the couple of months that we've had, well, frankly, the few years that we've had, but certainly the last couple months of, you know, getting hit with some hip news that we weren't all aware of before, you know, the strife and you know, that sort of thing. Bob Rock, sure. Like there was just a lot of stuff that was just like, oh man. And so on that night, it was just great to hear them laughing.
Yeah.
And having a good time. And
yeah.
That made all of us have a good time. And that was phenomenal.
Yeah. It seemed like a pretty, seemed pretty good vibes in the room there.
Yeah.
Cool. Does the book out or is it coming out?
The book is out.
Okay.
Yeah, the book is out. Yeah. Right. And definitely by the time this episode comes out, the book is out.
Positive.
And it's wonderful.
Nice. I got to pick it up for the Christmas season.
Oh, that's a perfect gift.
Yeah.
All right, John Paul.
Dude, thank you so much for the chat. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Well, that's what I've got for you today, folks. Stick around on the feed for the next episode. We're going to talk about another great song and meet another great hip superfan. So there's that. Thanks for stopping by. Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. To email us, send an email to tthtop40@gmail.com. We're social. Find us on all the socials at tthtop40.
Tuvra! Podcasts and such.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.